FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
Right now, let's get to our guest, please. Rodney Boyd, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well, man, doing well. Speaking of Josh Hawley, there was a lot of buzz about the first and only live debate between him and Senator McCaskill. I'm sure you talked a lot about it, but you mentioned him, and I was recapping his debate performance, and it was very, very good performance on his part for a lot of people that had never heard him or been able to size him up as to whether or not he was senatorial. I think he scored a lot of points for him. So.
Yeah, I think he did a good job of, like, you know, my son was watching it, and he described to me, Dad, I just, like, when Josh Hawley stepped from behind the podium and approached the person who asked him the question, you notice Claire McCaskill never left the podium. You know, I think he was taking a one out of the playbook there from other politicians he'd seen who've been successful and seemed more accessible by doing that.
Well, a lot of people that I spoke to had never really heard Josh Hawley speak on any of the issues. And so for people that I spoke to, they said, well, he seemed like he knew what, had a grasp on the issues. He answered what was supposed to be tough questions about, you know, Saudi Arabia, about deficit, about trade war. So the takeaway for me was that a lot of the people that, you know, we talk about, look, if you're for or against, you're pretty hard set. But what about the people in the middle? What about the people, the small number of people that, the independents, if you will? And I know you and I talk about whether that group exists, but I think it does. And I think for a lot of people in that independent space who wanted to hear from Josh Hawley, just to hear him answer questions, I think he scored a lot of points. In a race where it's been for the last three or four polls a statistical tie, I think it serves him well to at least present that he has a grasp on the issues, that he is a Missouri-centered person. So I think he did okay.
Yeah, well, I think that's good. And you know, I was worried a little bit, and I'll talk to him about this in about an hour, that there were opportunities where he could have been a bit more aggressive with her and pushed her on some issues like the Planned Parenthood funding question that came up with Project Veritas and you know, some other issues like that where, you know, Claire McCaskill, she continues to try to paint herself as a moderate, Rodney, but she doesn't vote that way. And there were plenty of opportunities to in a debate to counter when she says things like that. And I don't think we took full advantage of that.
And I think you're getting now to the lack of experience that Josh has. I mean, part of this, you have to remember this is his second statewide election, probably Claire's 10th. So, I mean, I just think for Josh, experience is not there to be as razor sharp as you might have wanted. And I think he'll work on that in time. Unfortunately for everybody, there won't be another televised debate, so you'll have to now just get to the meat of the issues, which is something I know you stress for folks to do all the time. But, you know, all in all, I think he stood on the stage in his first senatorial debate. He held his own. I think he did fairly well. And for a lot of people that have been wondering, well, what would he say if you ask him about the various tough questions, he did a good job.
Now they know. Right. Yeah, that's a fair point. Rodney, I had Rick Stream on last week. He's the director of elections, obviously one of the directors of elections, St. Louis County. And he was pointing out to me that the ballot that people are going to face in a couple of weeks is one of the longest that he's ever seen. It's got at least 15. If you're just in St. Louis County, I can't speak specifically to Jefferson and Franklin and some of the other counties out there, but I can tell you, just in St. Louis County, you're going to have 15 ballot initiatives alone. And that doesn't include candidate races. That doesn't include judgeships. If people walk into this uninformed, they're in trouble.
Listen, and there's no reason to. I mean, you and I discussed this, and I thank you for lauding this point. You can go on your smart device, your handheld phone, whatever, and pull up ballot measures where you live. And we said this last week, in each jurisdiction, they're different. For example, in the county, there's going to be a proposition about the zoo. That doesn't exist in the city or any of the other collar counties. But I think, you know, you raising this point week after week, we've got about 3 weeks to go, I think it's valuable airtime. There are going to be not only long ballots, but substantive issues on the ballot. Everything from this Clean Missouri Prop 1 that deals with election districts, all kinds of issues that are compiled together that are not easily understood individually. As individual issues, but they're compiled into one initiative. There are three marijuana proposals, and this has been very confusing. People have been talking to me saying, well, which one of these marijuana proposals is the most important? And I said, all of them are. All of them have consequences. A lot of people are now understanding. Someone asked this in our state, Saint County, about, hey, is it true that the Amendment 3 has some eminent domain provisions? And I said, absolutely. And they hadn't thought about that. So if you walk into the voting booth on November the 6th, and you haven't taken the time to read or to prepare, I think you're in for a rude awakening and a very difficult voting experience. People are saying that you need to allocate. So think about this, Mark. Campaign folks are saying you probably need to allocate 10 to 15 minutes in the booth. That's if you go in relatively, you know, prepared, just to make sure you are checking the right boxes. Now, if that's a prepared person, what does it mean if you walk in for the first time and see 15 to 20 different measures that you've never read about?
Sure.
You're either going to make some poor choices, bad choices, or no choices at all, but none of those references included making a good choice, which is what we want voters to do.
Well, you know, I would encourage people to go to our website, 971talk.com/Cox. I've got my Missouri voter guide up there. So it's got the Missouri statewide issues and how I plan to vote on them with my own description of what they do. It's got the St. Louis County charter amendment issues up there. There's a number of those. You need to understand what they are and how you're going to vote before you get in the booth. Because as usual, if you just read the wording that's on the ballot, it's not going to fully explain what the issues are. That's what I've tried to do for people. But, you know, but for example, Rodney, there's a poll out this morning that our friend Tim Jones sent us, and I think this is pretty fascinating. It is it's a poll showing that, like, for example, Amendment 2, that's one of the three marijuana propositions, is leading in the polls right now.
Correct.
Like, if you were going to vote today, that's the one that imposes the biggest tax and all of that stuff, but it's an amendment to the Constitution. And Proposition C, which makes a whole lot more sense if you believe medical marijuana should be approved, is losing in the polls right now. And people just don't understand. If all three of these pass, or if two of them pass,
you got it.
It's going to have to go to a judge to decide what becomes the law.
No, you got it. And that was a spot on. I saw that poll, and it was troubling. The other thing about Proposition 3, the one you highlighted, the one that makes the most sense, is for your listeners, that is a statutory initiative, which means it can be addressed, it can be redressed by the legislature. So if you were to pass that one, which seems to be the most common sense of the three from my reading as well, and we had an issue with it, the legislature could simply address that issue in a subsequent session. The constitutional amendments do not afford the legislature the option or the opportunity for redress. And so we should be very, very careful. The highest bar we have should be for amending the state constitution. If it isn't something that's so fundamental to the need of we as Missourians, I don't think we should be amending the Constitution. I mean, someone mentioned to me recently that the Constitution today is 135 pages, and if these propositions pass, it could be 200 pages to the Missouri Constitution. That is unnecessary and also unbelievable that we've gotten to that point. And this is a constitution that was, I think, adopted in the 50s. This is a recent constitution. So
yes,
we just want to be very careful about playing around with our constitution as if it's a statute, because it is not.
Yeah, it's a great point. And hopefully people are going to they're going to read this. They're going to educate themselves. I know some won't, but I'm going to do my best to get them on the ball between now and then. Listen, Rodney Boyd, I know you got a meeting you got to get to here at the bottom of the hour. Thank you for your time.